over one button because of the multiple meals I've eaten, not just Thursday, but since. But it is a season that, if we're not careful, it begins a six-week period where it's so busy that you can lose sight of the fact, or the root of what this season's all about. And we hear that all the time about the true reason for the Christ is in Christmas and that kind of thing. But I just felt like the Lord laid on my heart, really, for me, and I felt like for some others, and I didn't know you guys were going to be here today. I thank God you are. But I just know that sometimes in the world we live in, the worries we carry, the busyness of life, mistakes we may have made. How many of you in here? I don't think I'm the only one. Would if you were honest, you'd say that it's not so much that you've got a hard-hearted heart, that you're offended at anything or person. Perhaps that may be you. I don't know. But I felt like for me and perhaps some of us in here, it's not so much that. It's just life has created in us a numbness. Would that be anybody else, if you're honest? That things that used to move you, it's not that you don't like them anymore, but they don't, seemingly for a season, they haven't moved you the way they used to. Anybody? Or I know, and I've had this, you know, conversation with Beth and going through the physical situation with her mom. And I went through it with my dad, that there were times when I'd be working in the yard or some of those quiet times that I don't get enough of. And I was like, Lord, I guess some of it was self-preservation, but I felt like I should have had more emotions on edge when my dad was going through the last stages of his cancer. And I thought, Lord, I should feel more emotion than this. It was like I was numb. It was like I was numb going through that. And Beth and I had a brief conversation the other day. It's like, I'll cry at watching kids' cartoon sometimes, you know, if it hits me, right? But yet I was numb for chunks of time when my dad was going through what he went through with his cancer. You know, and I think sometimes that we allow things like that, the trials of life, and not everything's always negative that causes us to be numb. It can just be busyness. But if we're not careful, but I do believe that if that's you today, something's just off kilter in your heart, I believe that the Lord wants to breathe on that today and restore that. You fill in your word. Pliability, openness, whatever it might be, so that we have tender hearts toward the Lord, toward our families, toward those things that God's placed in our life. Open hearts, available hearts. Amen? Because when you're numb, you tend to back off and retreat. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody doing it right now in certain areas of our life? You just you don't quit and resign, perhaps, but you do back off. And perhaps not even physically, but emotionally, spiritually. Amen? God's not mad at me, He's not mad at you, but He's saying, and I believe I've heard it from enough people today already, that if that's you, just confess it, repent of it, write it down, that God wants to restore. God wants to restore pliable hearts to us. Amen? I believe that with everything in me, that He wants to heal us of numbness, offense. You fill in the blank. Amen? And that was my prayer. I wrote down, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to things that many of us have forgotten. I look around here and I could make my own list of things God's done in other people's lives that would blow people's minds. Not even my own life. Your life. Yours. What you're doing right now, what you're attempting to do for the Lord. It's amazing. But I could make a list of other people's miracles that would blow most people's doors off. But yet, have I forgotten God's faithfulness in those things on a Tuesday at work, on a Thursday night at home? Amen? So I've been praying all week. Lord, help us open our hearts and to things we may have forgotten, or things we may have seen incorrectly. A misperception here, a misperception there that maybe has got us offended or made us draw back, or things that we haven't even seen yet. Because when you get numb and you take a step back, you start missing stuff that God's doing right next to you. And I'll be honest, and I don't know how, if you're going to even be able to call this a sermon today, as when I first got here, handing out the pieces of paper or putting them down, and Ariel put out the pens earlier in the week. I walked out back over here in the corner, and I was just walking and praying, and it was before I came in, and I was just like, you know, Lord, there was, and again, it wasn't because God was mad at me, but I was just like, Lord, you know, I feel out of kilter, so to speak, in my heart. And I just begin to pray for this house of worship. Not that this place is any more special than any other house of worship, but I'm like, Lord, you changed my life here. This is where I met God. This is where I met my wife. This is where my children were dedicated to the Lord. I've known no other house of worship but this one. Because I came to the Lord at 26 years old. Just green to the things of God. And I was like, Lord, it wasn't the word wonder, but I just began to pray for the house, Jeffrey. The Lord just, you know, do what I have not been able to do, or do what I have failed to do. Meet somebody's need today in a spiritual way, a need that perhaps I've been too numb to even know there was a need. I just began to pray for you guys. I didn't even know you guys were going to be here. I didn't know who was going to be here. But I just began to pray, and it felt right. Just out here over the... I didn't even know if Ariel was in her office. I was outside her office, and it kind of dawned on me when I kind of popped back to. I was like, man, if she's in there, she's witnessing some crazy stuff right outside her window. But you know what? That's what I used to do consistently, Kenny. There was a time when that was consistent. That wasn't unusual to me, but it has been lately. God's not mad. He wants to restore that, where we bear each other's burdens. You can't bear one another's burdens when you're numb and withdrawn. Amen? You can't. But I wrote down my prayer in every situation with the help of the Holy Spirit that we could leave today with thankful, soft, and pliable hearts. That's been my prayer for the last week for whoever would hear this message, whether it's on a podcast or you being here in person, that for whatever the enemy, whatever life, whatever circumstances has come in and made our hearts hard and numb, that by God's Spirit, not the any words, but God's Spirit and His breath blowing upon that we would leave thankful. Thankful for God. Thankful for what He's done. Thankful for the things in our life. Thankful for our family. Thankful for what we have. Even if we need to be reminded of it, Shane. But that our hearts would be soft and pliable to the things of God. And then the Lord popped this in, because I wrote it down, and even it was with a few practical things He showed me this week that I'm going to share briefly, and then we're going to close it up. So thankful hearts, soft and pliable hearts, and a few practical things to help us. Amen. But this process started. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, and you'll think it's kind of silly or goofy, but you know what? When God will use anything, He don't always play fair. God will use anything to get in there and prick your heart if you're struggling and with numbness or whatever. And with me, it was weird. It was the song "So Will I," and I guess it was a couple of Mondays ago. I had three Wednesdays ago. Now I took our lab to the vet, and she had bone cancer. So I found out on a Wednesday that she was going to, she's 12 and she was a pretty big girl, so really the only option we had was to get her put down. And they couldn't get her back in until the following Monday. So I took the day off. Well, I didn't take it off. I worked from home. And then my appointment was up here at 10:30. So all morning long I was sitting there, you know, working, but trying, you know, and I had that song playing on my phone. I bet I played it 100 times, you know. I do have an iPhone now. I've got rid of my flip phone, but I don't have the music downloaded. I just have to log on to YouTube and type it in and hit play. Burning data like crazy, I'm sure, or I'm driving to Noonan and back. But I just kept hitting play, kept hitting play, kept hitting play, and it was the So Will I. And I kid you not, and, you know, it was, you know, 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. My appointment was at 10:30. Those couple of hours, I just cried, cried, and went outside on the carport and patted her, and she had bone cancer in her right rear leg, so she couldn't play with me, but I just cried and cried and cried. But then as I cried and cried, and you're thinking, my God, there's starving kids in Africa, and you're crying like a maniac up for 2 hours over a lab. But you know what? As I wept over that situation with that song playing, man, I prayed for this house like I've not prayed for in a year. I prayed for my family. I prayed for Beth dealing with her mom. I prayed for my kids. And in the middle of that turmoil or cauldron of emotions, God began to, He prompted me to pray for you, Mary, and you, Hannah, like I've not prayed for y'all in a year probably. For little Trevor, for y'all, for Pastor Sid. Because I had grown numb in this last season to certain things, and I've prayed and gone through the motions, but I hadn't prayed like I prayed last Monday. And it all started with me just playing a song over and over and being heartbroken because I was fixing to have to get my lab put down. And God just began to minister to me through that point of pain. Amen? And I cried. I remember, you know, I went and had it done, and I had an hour or two before I had to pick up Trevor at school and told him, and, you know, he's 6, so it was hard. And I had another wave of emotion come through that afternoon, and I remember Mary came in. She said, "You been crying?" No. But I had, but again, it wasn't just that, but it just began to, that's kind of when this whole thing started with me a couple of Mondays ago. But it began to soften my heart. And for once, God started that chain reaction, but I stayed connected with Him over the last couple of weeks. So it's just grown. See, that's where I cut myself off so often. Pastor Sid will share obediently and preach his guts out. But if I only hear it, let it bless me, and move on, it's not doing what God would desire it to do in me. Amen? Amen? So that's where this all started with me. So your little piece of paper, I hope you've got two or three things, or maybe some of you in here that circumstances would say, "I don't really have anything other than that I'm saved." Well, write that down. Be thankful that your name's written in heaven. But if you would, if you've got a pen, just for a second, and I'll be quiet for a little bit, or a few seconds, add to that list, if you want to draw a line across the paper, if any of you is going through anything real difficult right now, difficult circumstances, whatever that might be. I know in our family right now, we're dealing with Beth's mom, her physical condition. And in the physical, it's not good. It's just not good. She's in the final stages of Alzheimer's, and we don't know. You know, we're it's getting tough. You know, a few years ago, we went through the cancer with my dad. He went to be with the Lord a couple of Marches ago. Some of you, maybe it's financial stress. I don't know what it is, but if you're going through anything that's stressing you, or you're causing anxiety, or it may be potentially what you think may be the root of why you've withdrawn. Write it down. Write it down. You know, brother, I won't go there right now. Just I'll give you a few seconds to write that down. And then I'm going to turn. Just you stay there. I'm going to be, again, this is not going to be long and in depth. Because again, remember what the Lord had laid on my heart for my life and what I've been praying for this house and for people specifically in this house, that there would be a restoration of thankfulness. Even in the midst of trial, that there would be a restoration of thankfulness in my heart. Because I've got plenty to be thankful for, Shane. Even though I can give you a list of things I'm dealing with. Many things, many of that list is self-inflicted. But I can still be thankful. Amen? So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. You don't have to turn there if you're writing on your list. And some of you may be going through some things that as you write it, it's so painful. You just don't worry about turning to Scripture. You just let the Lord minister to you there. But verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, this is the New King James. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, a lot of us have heard that scripture before. It was one of the first scripture. If you buy a little pack of scripture memorization verses, that's going to be in there eventually. So let's go back and I'm going to try to just briefly share what the Lord challenged me with. Again, it started with me crying over my dog, but this is where the Lord took me over the last 2 weeks, and it's really, really helped me. And I wrote down in my notes, let me read that scripture again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but those weapons are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Some translations say tearing down. Some say demolishing. My NIV says, for the demolition of strongholds. It's not an easy, quiet little thing for church services. When the weapons of our warfare are not, we don't fight like the world fights. But I wrote down in my notes, what's the scripture say in verse 4? For the weapons of our warfare, I wrote down what weapons? What weapons? Anybody? So, if we don't fight like the world fights, the weapons of our warfare, they're spiritual, they're not carnal, but what weapons? Think about it. Okay, I wrote down a few. Prayer. That's a weapon. Worship. Hopefully most of us over the last 30 minutes, you engaged with a spiritual weapon. If you opened up, not if you did this, not if you clapped, not if you bounced, but if you just opened your heart up and worshiped God when we were singing those songs, you guess what? You were wielding a spiritual weapon. Do you see that? The opportunity, and many of you are thinking, man, I never thought about that. Don't miss the next opportunity because we're going to get one before we leave today. Amen? When you pray, not when you pray like Pastor Sid, or not when you pray with an English accent, like, well, they always have an English accent when you watch Christian TV, movies on TV. But when you just open your heart and talk to God, young people, not King James, but just talking to God, that is a spiritual weapon. Amen? What's another one? I wrote down Scripture, quoting Scripture, reading Scripture. That's a spiritual weapon. Is it a weapon you go to consistently? Not me lately. That was a weapon I consistently wielded for a long time in my walk, but now it's sporadic at best. Amen? I can promise you what's not a spiritual weapon is a remote. So when I choose that over this, I wrote down fasting. It's a very, Jesus even said, some things you deal with won't only come out but through prayer and fasting. Sometimes the Spirit will prompt you, prayer, this weapon's not enough. Add this one to it. Prayer and fasting. Amen? Jesus said that. Don't get mad at me. I know it's, some of us could use some, I could use some fasting right now, Jeffrey. Physically. After the last few days. I wrote down faith. Just exhibiting faith. Just believing. Against all odds, just believing. Amen? Obedience, obeying something that the Word might say or that the Spirit might prompt you. That's a spiritual weapon. Works, physically doing things to help others. And then I wrote down in big letters, because this is the season and this is what I've already... Thanksgiving, being thankful, is a spiritual weapon in the hands of a believer. Amen? And that's the weapon that the Lord laid on my heart that He wants to restore to me and perhaps many in here this morning. When we're thankful, and maybe the list is not a long one, but when you're thankful, that is mighty in the spirit realm. Depression doesn't have as much room to move in your life when you are a thankful person. Offense, when you pray and you read the Word, and you worship, and do you know how many times I've stood over there with seeming almost losing my mind? But Lord, I've got to worship You for self-preservation. It didn't feel like I was taking back ground from the enemy. I was surviving, but I knew I had to worship God. Now, in the spirit realm, that's a mighty spiritual weapon. When God looks down on this group. And maybe you've just won the lottery, or maybe everything is going good and you worship, be thankful, yes. But what about the person where everything's going wrong and they're worshiping anyway? What do you think God sees in that? He doesn't like it any more than the other worship, but it's precious to Him. When's the last time you gave God that? In spite of everything. It's a mighty spiritual weapon. It's what you battle the enemy with. Amen? Now, flip over. Well, you don't have to flip, because I'm going to flip in my other Bible, my NIV Bible, and then I'm going to hit a couple of points, and we're going to move on. This is Ephesians 6. It's the full armor of God scripture. This is one of the first scriptures I memorized. And I memorized the NIV version, so I'm going to read out of it. It's Ephesians 6, verse 10. Very familiar scripture to a lot of people. I'll just run a little rabbit here. How many of you know that the enemy, we're talking about spiritual weapons here, right? We're fixing to talk about the full armor of God. And we're fixing to talk about part of that armor is the shield of faith. We'll read it in a minute, and I'll talk briefly about it. But everybody know that scripture? Part of the armor is the shield of faith that you can lift and extinguish all the fiery arrows of the enemy. Sounds good, doesn't it? Are you lifting it? But how many of you know, let me just fill you this. I say this all the time to myself. I said it for years to Sunday school. And y'all probably heard me say it 100 times. If you were the enemy, if you wanted to trip you up, what would you do to trip yourself up? Many of us immediately know the low-hanging fruit that we get tripped up, offended, sidetracked. I know I do. I've got the button that the enemy, he might go to sleep for 6 weeks, and he wakes up, like many of us at church, and... Oh, Brett's had a good 6 weeks. Let me go back to my silver bullet. Let me attack him right here, because it always works. Anybody got those buttons in your life? The fiery darts that we lift the shield of faith to extinguish, in many of our lives, it's the same dart he's fired at you since the day you got saved. It's not like he's got a new arrow that he pulls out to trick you. It's the same old one, am I right? A proof of that. Look, you know what I found in my Bible? Right here. This was in my Bible as I was, because I usually keep this Bible on my desk at work, and I tote this one around. This was something Robin shared with me February 4th, 1999. This is before Beth and I were married. I'd been saved about a year and a half. And this was a note from my sister Robin, who's not here today. It said, "To Brett and Beth, please read James 3, verses 12 through 18. I feel there's a heavy spirit keeping Beth from praying." Same dart he fires on November 26, 2017. It's the same dart. And many of you have those same type things. Amen? What is it in your life? But guess what? The same shield of faith that worked back then can work today if I'll just use it. If I'll just use it. Ephesians 6. Let me read the scripture and I'll pull out a few points and we'll move on. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." The New King James calls it against his wiles. I think the King James says craftiness. His traps. Those things he always uses and needed to get you. It's not 50 traps probably. It's one or two that we just keep. We're like the teenager. Well, we weren't even teenagers. You know, when the electric fences were popular, we had a neighbor with one, and they had a dial on it. And we would take pieces of grass, and we would, okay, on two. And everybody would do it, turn it to three, and we'd just keep touching it with, like, you know. Well, many of these traps the enemy has, it's the same thing. "So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's the battle. When you worship in spite of things, when you wield some of those weapons we talked about, this is the battle you're fighting. Amen? "Therefore," verse 13 it says, therefore what? Because you are in a spiritual battle. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." See, sometimes, right now, and I know this goes against sometimes the Pentecostal doctrine and the push to always be winning, but sometimes it's God's will for you to put on His armor, wield some of these spiritual weapons that are mighty in Him, tear down a couple of strongholds, and just stand your ground. Is anybody tired of giving ground? Anybody tired of touching the electric fence again and again and again? He might not be right now in this season calling you to tear down the fence. He just wants you to be able to stand your ground. Not lose the day to a fence. Not lose the day to apathy. Amen? Amen? Is that anybody in here? I know it's me. And then it says, "Stand firm then." Here we go. You're talking about some more weapons, more spiritual weapons. Here we go. "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." That's a good spiritual weapon. The belt of truth, God's truth. "The breastplate of righteousness in place." It's the righteousness of Jesus. And with you. And this is one of my favorite ones right here. and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, the way I learned it, or the way I remember it 15 years later, is, Lord, I put your belt of truth on. I put the breastplate of righteousness in place. And I pray that my feet would be ready and rooted in the gospel of peace. Now, I won't go there for time's sake. So if your readiness has to be rooted in the gospel of peace, it's hard to be ready to obey the Lord when strife and anxiety is eating you alive. Does that make sense? So the Lord has had me over the last couple of weeks confessing the things that cause me to be anxious, confessing insecurities, confessing these things, because to be ready to obey the Lord, to wield some of these weapons that were talked about, prayer, worship, we have to confess those things that make us, we have to confess insecurity. It's one of the biggest traps of the enemy out there. When you're insecure and you don't have peace, I didn't say when the storm's over, because you can have peace and security through the storm when we cling to God and come to Him. Amen? So if nothing else this morning, confess those things, that confess those insecurities. Confess them. Confess that you feel insecure physically, spiritually, whatever way. Amen? Confess a weakness that you have to keep up with the Joneses. Confess that. If it's causing you anxiety, get it out there. God will heal you of that. He will. Guess what? Most of you ladies are not going to be 95 pounds and 5'11". I don't care how much photoshopping goes on in the pictures. Guys, you may not... Whatever makes you feel insecure. Maybe it's not physical, but maybe your 401k ain't what you thought it would be when you were 20 and started in the workforce. Because of poor decisions or this or this or this or this. Whatever causes you anxiety and insecurity, get that out and let God deal with it. Amen? Leave secure. Leave with a heart that says, you know what? Circumstances are crappy right now, but I serve a God that loves me and He's good. He is good. And it's that goodness that draws us to repent. Amen? Lift the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. And here's where I want to touch and then we'll go. I looked up the Greek word for sword here. Because one of the examples that popped in my mind, and Lisa, I thought about you all week long. And I know Errol was going to be in the nursery, but because the sword of the Spirit, picture that. I don't know what you picture in your mind when you talk about wielding the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God that it says it in the Scripture. But the Greek word for sword there is, it's M-A-C-H-I-A-R-A, Makaira. And we treat it like it's a bazooka or a nuclear weapon or a high-powered sniper rifle. That I'll stand from a distance and I'll pray for Lisa's issue and I'll lob spiritual, haymakers. Because it's the Word of God. It's all powerful, right? That's not the Greek word there. The Greek word for sword there is makaira, which is a knife. What's a knife for? It's for hand-to-hand combat. So when we talk about wielding the sword, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, it's so that not always am I going to be called on to lob spiritual nuclear bombs for Nick White. I need to deny myself, take up my cross, and engage in some hand-to-hand combat for Nick White sometimes with the Word of God. Close encounters, amen? It's like a bayonet on the rifle. But you can't do that numb. You can't do that offended. So confess it. Because there's some hand-to-hand combat needed right now. And you see it with the kids more than I do. I've got my own three kids, but you see it across a big spectrum of kids. Hand-to-hand combat. Reminds me when I went to the ramp a few years ago. And in the middle of a sermon, there's an altar call for teenagers who are cutting themselves. And that would shut down most churches because it was ugly and raw. And teenagers just rushed forward, weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping. It overwhelmed the ramp staff. Damon was hollering anybody he knew in the crowd that happened to be in the ministry to come help. Think about that. It's hand-to-hand combat. It's the Word of God, yes, but it's dirty. We need each other to be. And I know that's you, Linda. I know you're neat and pretty and you play the piano, but you wield the sword of the Spirit, and I thank you that you wield it on my behalf. God bless you. But we need that, amen? We need it. But also, in order to wield the Spirit, that knife effectively, you've got to get in the Word. You can't just... I heard it one time, people, and I've shared this before, I heard a preacher one time say, we read that scripture and we treat this like it's a club that we beat the enemy with. This is not the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do when he came back? Well, he used the Word of God against the enemy. Yes, he did. But he used the word that was appropriate for that setting. You know, when he was hungry, he hadn't eaten for 40 days, and the enemy came and said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Jesus didn't quote Genesis. He said, man shall not live but by bread alone. He wielded a knife and got involved in hand-to-hand combat, which was the sword of the Spirit, but it wasn't just willy-nilly stuff you put on your refrigerator. And the only way you know that is to get in it. And this is a challenge to me, to get back in the Word so that I can appropriately wield that. Amen? Amen? I know, Lisa, you gave our... I found this. I found a lot of stuff that, not that I had lost, but hadn't been readily available in my life. I found a Bible's Book of Promises, or a book of the Bible's promises that Lisa and Terry J. gave me and Beth years ago for Christmas back when we were in Sunday school. And it's one of those, you know, you can look up healing and turn to it, and it's got all the scriptures for healing there. Amen? It's pulling the right sword for the right moment. But you gotta get in there to do that, right? So let's do that again for this next season of our life. And then we're going to close here in just a second. But here was the example that I had in my mind, and I pictured Lisa. So knowing the answer is the start of the process, right? We're in a spiritual battle, and we need to get back in the Word. We need to pray more. We need to pray more consistently. We need to worship in spite of everything. That's all sounds good. But what popped in my mind 2 weeks ago when I wrote it down was, and I don't know why the Lord popped this in my mind, I pictured baseball or fast pitch softball. There's a thing called a squeeze bunt. It's where there's a runner on third, the pitcher starts the windup, the runner breaks. And what's the answer? What's the answer to that? What's the defense to a squeeze bunt? There's not. But as a pitcher, I know I never pitched, but I was one of the guys that they used to call two squeeze bunt a lot. We've always been taught the pitcher needs to throw it high and tight to the batter to get the ball up here where it's hard to bunt. Well, knowing that is half the battle. It's the start of the answer. Amen? But if I walked around just mumbling to myself, high and tight, high and tight, high and tight, high. It wouldn't do me any good. What you would have to do is practice that till it became second nature, so that if it ever presented itself in a game, you could do it. An amazing thing, doing it. And that's what the Lord challenged me with. He said, Brett, you know all the answers, but you've quit practicing them. So then the game of life happens, And somebody yells, squeeze, a runner, and I'm out of practice. I haven't wielded, I haven't prayed, I haven't. Well, the Lord has revealed all that to me over the last few weeks, and I've actually got back in the Word. I've been praying, and it's been a wonderful 2 weeks. All started out of a painful process. But worship team, if you want to come on up, I asked the worship team, and I know they're running short-handed because of people traveling for the holidays. I asked Miss Linda if she could play Soul Line. I know they've played it a lot over the last few weeks. We've missed some of the last few weeks, so if you want to, you can stand to your feet. You can flip those lights back there. I know I've kind of rambled a little bit here this morning, but I want you to look at your list. The things that you're thankful for, maybe you've added to the list as I've spoken or through a couple of the songs. But again, this song is what was playing that morning where I was tore out of the frame like I haven't been in a long time. And I just begin to thank God for His faithfulness, that He didn't turn His back on me when everything in Him should have. His Word says that the callings and giftings of God are without repentance. And if it wasn't for that, He probably would have. But as we go through this song, the Lord did remind me or add to what I have felt for a couple of weeks. The thing that I maybe some of you did it, and you have a list of a few things that you're thankful for, but there's also that thing at the bottom that I ask you to write down, something that you're going through right now that's very painful. And the Lord just reminded me over the last couple of weeks and wanted me to say today, I think, is that thing that is painful could be the very thing that God uses to begin to soften your hard heart. So don't keep that from Him, whatever it is. Amen. I don't know what the root, Carla, I don't know what the root of what you said earlier. It's exactly what we're talking about. There were unfulfilled expectations in her life. And it became a stumbling block. She admitted it. So maybe you've got something on your list that right now is either a stumbling block or a potential one. Obviously, in our family right now, it's Beth's mom's physical condition. We've been praying for healing, but you know, you get to that point where, okay, God, if that's not what's in the cards, let this run its course quickly. That's where we're at. Out on the table before God, that can be a tool God uses to keep us pliable as we lay before God and we languish before God. As we cry out to God through pain. So if you've got something on your list that's painful, maybe it's a mistake you made. Maybe your mistake caused pain for your family. Men, has anybody done that? Don't pull that off the table. As we go through this song, open your heart up to God and just see if He won't breathe on you. Amen? Even in that point of pain, be thankful for all that on your list. Be thankful to God. But those things that hurt, the scars that have caused us to be numb or bitter, don't pull that off. Let God breathe on it. I saw you raise your hand. Whatever that is, let God breathe on that. Amen? He'll use it to soften hardness. I know He will because that's His heart. So as we go through this song, this is the altar call. If you just need to come forward and worship God, if you need prayer, come get me. We'll pray. If you need to call on Christ for salvation, it starts right there. So whatever it is, just put it all on the table. Put all your chips in and let God deal with your mess. Amen? Father, we love You and we praise You. You're good. You're always good. And we love You and we need You, Father. We need Your truth. We need Your grace. And I just thank You by faith for it. Just do what only You can do. And I thank you by faith for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You do whatever it is you need to do with God.
Heavy heart the last few weeks, and I've really been praying about what it is and what I need to do about it, and God's really shown me it's about Victory Fellowship, but it's also about the church body, not Victory Fellowship. So if you are a member here, it's for you, and if you're not a member here, it's for you. Last week, some of us went to Propel, and we sat for 9 hours worshiping and listening to the Word, and we didn't grow weary. We didn't get enough sleep. We were tired. We didn't grow weary, though. And then I kind of come in to our church, and I already feel a sense of weariness. I already kind of feel a sense of, when's this going to be over? Or, I've done my time. Is it over yet? And that's really not what God called us to be, and I don't think it's just Victory Fellowship. This is just my example. I'm sure, guys, as you go to different churches, you see it. Or maybe if you're visiting here, you have felt that before. And I think back to the scriptures, and I think back over the stories, and God has really, as I've been praying about this, He's been showing me church, the gathering together, was never meant to be you come, you sit, you listen, you leave. When pastors are equipping the saints, yes, we sit and we listen, but every time something happened of any importance in the Bible, people were doing things. There was an activity going on, even if it was just flocking to where Jesus was. That's what I want to flock to where Jesus was. I want to be such a vessel that people just flock to me because I am that Jesus to them. And that takes activity. It takes getting up and moving, whether it's worshiping by raising your hands, maybe it's coming to the altar, maybe it's going and praying with somebody that you feel, but that takes activity. And when we get in that spot where we're like, when is this going to be over? Or I've done my time. Is it done yet? When we get there, we're not, I don't think that we can actually hear God say, go pray with that person. I don't think we can actually hear God say, this is your purpose in life. I don't think we can really feel that full thanksgiving when we're kind of going, Lord, when is, if we aren't actively in that thanksgiving, actively in that, Lord, I'm on, and I'm listening. It takes that to be able to tend that fire, because when we lose that fire is when we get to that place that we're sitting and we're ready to move on and let's go home. But when we come in and we're on, we're listening, we're activated. That's the word that God has really been using to me. Are you activated? The scripture says that the violent men take it by force. Are you a violent man? Are you taking it by force? Because we all have things that we're going through. We all have things that are difficult. Some of us are dealing. I know there's a lot of you in here that I've kind of heard about over the last few months. With your fathers being sick, there's cancer, there's diseases with your moms, there's trouble there. Are we activated? Are we taking this by force? That's what I want to do. So if you have been that person that's kind of just come and you've sat and, okay, is it time to go yet? Okay, let's go home. That's not really what church is about. That's not really why God saved you. That's not really why God's going to take you to heaven one day, because that's not what we're going to do in heaven. Yes, it'll be home, but we'll be activated in heaven. We will be on in heaven. And so, during this altar call, if that's you, if you have been somebody that's just kind of like, let's just go, and then when's this going to be over, let's just go home, decide now that that's not really how you want to live. You can't be a violent man that takes action and takes force if you don't want to be full of activity. Allow God to show you what activity He wants you to do. I didn't really sit there and think, Lord, I really want to get that microphone and I really want to say something today. But I was saying to the Lord, I am on today. I am ready for battle. I am going to be a violent man. And if that means I'm your vessel, I'll be it. If that means I need to go pray with somebody, I'll do. If that means I need to pick up the phone, God will bring people to my mind sometimes that I just need to get in contact with and say, I don't know what you're going through, but you have been brought to my mind, and there's a reason for that. That is us being on, not just on a Sunday morning, but at your home, in your daily life. Don't get so busy that you can't listen and hear from the Lord. And I think that's a lot of what Brett was talking about. We lose that because we've all been there. Every one of us has been in that on mode, that violent man mode, and then sometimes it's boredom, sometimes it's your distraction, sometimes it's the darts. I have had some fiery darts blasted at me, and when I am in that place of distraction, they sink in and they take ground. But when I stay in activation mode and I stay in on mode, I am so ready that when those darts fire at me, I'm like, no. And I cast them out and I move on fighting. But when I get into that distraction, or for some of us, it's just been, I've been doing this for a long time. Some of you, Deborah, you've been doing this for decades. Don't get tired of it. Don't say, Lord, my time is over. I've given you my life. I'm done. We don't get there. There is no, my time is done, I am done. It is just a new, make it again new, Lord, like Sydney always says. It's not over, it's just a new thing. So if you need to move with that, maybe you've been in boredom, maybe you've been in disappointment or distraction, all of that is understandable. Some of you have been through some huge disappointments. God's not going, oh, you're disappointed in me, now I can't use you. He's saying, I'll make it again new. If you're bored, you know, these aren't our cheerleaders trying to get you to go. They're just doing the same thing we are. They can just sing good. They can just play an instrument, but they're doing the same thing that we are over here. So allow God to activate that inside of you. Allow God to tend that fire back inside of you. Don't grow bored with God. He is not a boring God. He is full of adventure. He is full of a fight. And sometimes we think of God as being kind of timid and just kind of blending in with the crowd, but that's not what the Bible shows us. He stood out. He caused issues. Everybody knew when he was around, and that's the way he wants us to be. So if you've just been blending in, sticking in with the crowd, let him pull you out of that. Let him be, you know, fully alive inside of you. And sometimes that takes an activity. Sometimes that takes an activation that you haven't had in a while. So let God move inside of you.